Attention, FM DJs in the greater Portland area. Your morning show prep begins now.
To 21 seconds after the hour of 9 in this, the month of April, in the year of our Lord, 2005. Thank you for coming by. Live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of Max 910. Talk radio for guys. It's the Rick Emerson Show. It's Friday, April 15th. We are now, 11 hours away. As of right now. 11 hours away from Listener Party 8, which happens tonight. At 8 p.m. at the Viper Room on 7th and Hawthorne. So we'll be talking about that today. Tonight, your last opportunity to purchase alcoholic beverages by the gallon for Sarah Dillon, who departs for the... it's not still a Raytheon tube, is it? Well, whatever it is on television. Departs for the warm, glowing plasma screen.
I believe it used to be a cathode tube.
That's right.
A cathode ray tube.
Well, she's going... She's leaving... She's going somewhere else. She's going to... going to Coin 6, where she will shine brightly like a thousand suns. So that's all coming up tonight. That is all coming up tonight, followed by a climaxing with the first ever live Portland broadcast of the Rick Emerson Show, doing a special live nighttime broadcast of this program at 10 p.m. tonight. That follows the Dead Celebrity Costume Contest, that follows the old school video game playoff, that follows all of that stuff. So we'll get down to it here in just a short while. Coming up later on today in the 9 o'clock news hour, we got today's impalement story, which is fantastic. We have an old friend of the Rick Emerson Show is going to be swinging by later today. I think our good friend Peter Carlin will be joining us for a skosh later on today's show. Scott Daly's going to be here from filmfever.org. Jolie, of course, with How Chicks Think. Let's see. What else do we have? Rick Emerson's Democracy on the March coming up. And we do have a few more pre-party tickets to give away today. We have a few more tickets to the Rick Emerson pre-party, which, of course, happens before the regular party in an undisclosed location. That's coming up later on today as well. So all of that is on the way. We also have... I honestly don't know what we have, and here's what. Because, and I know there's been a common story lately, but I believe that there's something seriously and chronically wrong with my alarm clock. Because first it was like that a few days ago, it didn't want to go off. And then this morning it went off, but I swear to God, it was ringing so quietly, I'm lucky I didn't sleep all the way till noon. Because I try to be here by around 7:30, and it's like today, I didn't even wake up till like 7:50.
Is it still the same hippie alarm clock with the slow gong and whatnot?
But it presumably, reaches some crescendo. It gets louder, so it wakes you up. I woke up today at like 7:50, and it was just sort of, in the corner of the room, and I just slept all the way through. There's that thing where you wake up, and of course, that's always the day where you haven't laid out your clothes. I mean, I don't understand how girly about it, but you haven't done anything. And I know it's less important for a guy because you can just, I'll wear a hat. It just doesn't matter. But you have to take the dog outside and I had to, whatever. Just shove a sandwich into my head and everything. So doing that, and of course, then there's some jag-off on the Ross Island Bridge who's forgotten how to merge correctly. And so everything slows down to 20 miles an hour. So, of course, today, at which I will have, not that anyone feels any sympathy for anybody in a job like this, but I will have no opportunity to go home and get caught up on anything. So I got to finish the show today. We got all kinds of stuff, last-minute things we're putting together for the party tonight, and then we got to go to that. I'm not as bad off as our good friend Kyle, though. Let's talk about Kyle, who has the worst schedule of anybody on Earth. A, who got all liquored up on NyQuil. What was it, last night or 2 nights ago?
Just 2 nights ago.
Who came in yesterday, I mean, at like, I don't know, 10:40, 10:45, something, and just sort of shuffling along like one of those 28 days later zombies. Because first of all, you just shouldn't make NyQuil unless you just absolutely are not going to be leaving the house for like 3 days. Because it's like 50% alcohol.
Yeah, I never felt so crappy in my life all day yesterday.
He was in here when I came in this morning at 4:15, though. Did you have a head cold, or what was your problem?
I just had a head cold, and I was tired. I just felt like crap.
Okay, if you're tired already, NyQuil's not something you need to take.
I just asked Megan. I was like, hey, why don't you just grab me some medicine on the way over? She's like, okay, well, that's what she brought.
She brought you NyQuil.
I'm like, no, I'll try it. I've never had it before, and I'll never do that again.
Oh, no, it's good stuff. I mean, if you're unemployed and you just need to pass along the live long day, if you're going to be busy sleeping by the railroad tracks and don't want to be bothered with consciousness, NyQuil's the way to go. And so what time did you get up this morning?
3:30
this morning to run IMUS. Let's track this now. Like, tell me if I got this right. So Kyle gets up at 3:30 this morning. You got to come in to run IMUS. You then got to go to your regular job all afternoon.
Yeah, noon.
Then you go to the pre-party.
Yeah.
Then the listener party.
Yep.
Then you have to get up and drive all the way to Seattle.
Yep.
Then you get to Seattle, after which you cannot sleep all day, after which you have to ride motorcycles at 7 p.m.
Yep.
Fantastic, which I'm happy about because it increases the chance of serious injury, and that's really what makes us happy about the whole thing. I just want to get it on film this time. I don't want there to be any of this. I broke my spine in three places, but there's no evidence of it. Do you ever do like a 360? Do you ever go off one of the big?
No.
You have to try that.
No, I don't think I will.
All right. Tim Riley's in the Max 910 newsroom working on the following stories today.
A New Jersey man is suing a hospital over a cannibalism allegation.
Fantastic.
Mary Kay Letourneau and her child groom tie the knot this weekend. And get ready for the biggest listener party ever organized.
All right. And it was a little instant karma. Right as I was wishing serious injury on Kyle, I jammed the pilot pen all the way up to the nub in my hand. So that didn't feel very good. Joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and short-timing Sarah X. Dillon, who is getting ready to move on to the dazzling, spectacular world of television broadcasting, much to the heartbreaking dismay of the Rick Emerson family. How are you?
I'm sad, too. I'm not going to get upset today, though. I'll save that for later.
I'll try to make you cry.
I'd rather you didn't.
Let's think about the. Let's see. What can I say? Dead kittens.
Oh, you know I don't care about that.
Well, that's one of the reasons we'll miss you, by the way. All right. So we've got another 2 hours and 50 minutes here of this, followed by the party tonight, followed by the live broadcast.
Yes, it's easier to cope with it today because I don't feel like it's actually going to be over until tonight.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, well,
even it'll be a drunken haze.
Well, by Monday, I'll have forgotten that you're not coming back. And on Monday morning, like 8:35, I'll be, where is she? I'll be, just cursing you that you're not here to help me with the e-cuts and so forth. So we'll all remember tonight, but I won't remember my Monday morning. It's 503-535-9100 or 1-877-535-9100. Let's get underway earlier. This is Trey Parker and Matt Stone. It's the Man Song Extended Friday version right here on the Rick Emerson Show. We'll be getting right around the corner with Tim Riley.
Hey!
In the Max 910 newsroom. Stay right there.
What makes a man? Is it the power in his hands? Is it his quest for glory? Give it all you got to fight to the top. So we can know your story. The way he fights every day. No, it's probably the
boobie doctor is in.
Now you're a man.
Tim Riley returns in just a moment with the 9 o'clock news, the best possible way to start your day. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland on Max 910. Stay there, won't you please?
It's not local. Rick Emerson, live and local, only on Max 910. Talk radio for guys.
It's the Rick Emerson Show.
And you can't not answer it. You can't not answer it.
I won't not answer my cell phone.
All right.
All right, there you go. That's a friend Steven.
Who made that?
It's a guy named Steven who sent that to me. That's called the Sarah Dillon stalking song. So there you go. So thanks to that. Ladies
really
and gentlemen.
It's really sweet except for the face on the sheets kind of thing.
And wearing your panties in the pants.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Yeah, good times.
Other than that, it's fine.
It's 921. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Entertainment at its finest. Well, to make matters worse, Australian authorities are after a man who has been called Dr. Death, who's been living in Portland. The man who they are after is Dr. J.N. Patel. Actually practiced here in Portland from 1989 to 2001 before moving to Australia. And according to newspaper reports there, three organ patients died after being operated on by Dr. Patel. The paper also links the doctor to several deaths and injuries in Australia and says he deliberately withheld bodies for autopsies to cover up his botched surgeries. Here in Portland, Dr. Patel's neighbors are stunned. Oh, I am shocked, said one. He's one of our neighbors. It's a nice, quiet cul-de-sac where he lives, you know. It's kind of surprising. Australian authorities say once they complete their investigation, they'll seek the extradition of Dr. Patel.
So where does he live here? Where
in, is it? Northwest.
Well, of course. That's where people like that always live.
And there's no better phrase,
and
by
a nice,
the way,
quiet cul-de-sac.
Botched surgery. Botched surgery gives me all kinds of nice. We just had a whole day of nothing but botched surgery stories. It'd be fine with that. Our good friend, The Low, emails in, and he says, this is to Sarah from Low. He says, hi there, Sarah. I know you said you didn't receive any of my emails, but there is no excuse for this one.
I never have received anything from him.
Passing along the
message.
He says, and I know it's your last day and all, and I really wish I could have been there to say goodbye in person, but I hope everything you've worked for comes through, and if there's anything I can do to help, do not hesitate to ask. That said, adios. Thank you, Kara. Thank you, Kara, indeed. You've been wonderful and a pleasure to know. Even though you're going to be a huge TV star and more than able to frown on us little people, enjoy yourself and have an extra vodka cranberry from me. That's from The Low, listening in Las Vegas there.
Oh, I'll see him in like a month.
He then has another whole paragraph at the end where he goes on to me about how you take his emails and never respond and ignore him and he feels shunned by you in every way.
We have discussed this. I don't know who he's emailing, but it's not me.
I don't know.
Okay.
Here's Tim Riley. Time for the Jackson Watch.
Here's your Jackson Watch.
This woman is pretty crazy.
And this is going to be her third day.
Oh, this is the accuser's mom?
Yeah.
Oh, she's completely nuts.
Janet Arvizo is her name, according to Fox. Jane Velez Mitchell comments on the witness's lack of emotion when questioned about her child's alleged molestation yesterday.
A lot of people made a big deal about that. I personally don't feel that that is that indicative of truth or falsehood. Yes, she said finally when she saw the passports, because they had been kept from her for so long, since 2003. Her passports, her children's passports, obviously this had some sort of symbolism or emotional significance to her. Then when she was asked about the time frame in which she learned of the alleged molestation, she was rather matter of fact, because they were talking about dates and times. I didn't read that much into it. A lot of times on the stand, people will break down and choke up at odd times because they're fighting to keep their emotions in check. And it's at the very times when they let the guard down that the tears can sometimes spill out.
Not a passport. Like Michael Jackson is planning to spirit your children off to Rio de Janeiro. There's clearly something amiss in that relationship.
Attorney Mark Cullo's comments on the crazy woman's testimony.
Witnesses, the jurors are usually on the edge of their seats waiting to see what the defense attorney is going to do, particularly if the defense attorney has basically built up a rapport with the jury. They kind of know what that defense attorney is going to be doing as soon as he gets up out of his seat. And I think that they're waiting for an attack on this particular witness.
Fantastic. And you can tell she's a total chain smoker. You look at that woman and you can just you can smell the trailer park yard, right, coming off of her.
Bingo Hall Betty.
Bingo Hall Betty. That's fantastic. Did you make up that phrase?
I did.
That's fantastic. I'm writing that down. Mm-hmm. All right.
Excellent. Use it all you want.
Thank you. Bingo. Oh, yeah, she just looks like she's, like, life for her is just what she does between swap meets. Bingo, oh, Betty. All right, excellent.
Here's another celebrity attorney, Michael Cardoza.
She does have some mental health issues, and I'm wondering if she wasn't on some sort of medication yesterday that flattened her out a little bit. And I look for the defense attorney in this case to maybe get into that area to find out if she was taking any type of medication that would flatten her out. But would I have approached this case differently? I think I would have. Now, I don't know the entire case, but I'll tell you, I may have taken her out of the case after meeting with her and seeing her mental state. I may not have used her and just simply go with the molestation, simply go in with your victim. That's certainly enough, and it will get Jackson enough time in prison if he's convicted. So you take her out of the case. It may be a horrible tactical error on their part, charging her as more than 80% of the conspiracy acts are attributed to her.
Well, I don't know why you have to put her on after having this Kirk Cameron guy on a couple weeks ago, that whoever this reformed teen minister, the guy or whoever he is, that said that Michael diddled him in a shower or something. And this woman, and I'll be the first to tell you that, because obviously they're not televising the trial unfairly, by the way, that I, as an American, as a tax-paying American, as of yesterday, I don't even want to talk.
You just finished yesterday.
What's that?
You just finished up yesterday.
Long story. Yeah. It's a long story. Anyway, our tax person just came over yesterday and got it all fixed with us. Because we sort of, as I've always said, in every relationship, usually there's a responsible person and an irresponsible person. And Laura and I are both the irresponsible person. And so we moved since the last time the tax person came over, since the last time our tax woman came over to do everything for us. We've moved to a different place. And I thought that Laura had told her, and Laura thought that I had taken care of the taxes this year, and that she thought that I, you know, and the whole long thing. Anyway, so the woman came over yesterday and took care of it. So I am, anyway, so I got the big financial gouge out of me. But as a tax-paying American, I resent that I'm not able to go home and tune on the Michael Jackson trial. So I haven't been able to see this woman, the accuser's mom, testified, but it's like, I hate to be the guy that's judging the Hemingway by its cover, but man, you can just see the crazy coming off of her. I mean, it's just, you know that she's just walking around a Kmart, just clutching an Icy in one hand, you know, and a stretchy plastic bag full of discount merchandise in the other.
In court yesterday, she told the jury that Jackson intended to send her to a private part of Brazil where there were no Americans. The biggest revelation could be that Jackson planned to adopt a boy and girl in Brazil in March 2003, around the same time he was planning to send the family and his then 13-year-old accuser on an extended vacation. Jackson was going to put on a concert at a stadium in Brazil and create a video for the now ironically titled song, One More Chance. A major TV network was set to sponsor the concert and broadcast it later, but it didn't pan out. And neither did the Brazilian vacation for the family.
There you go.
So the question is, will Tom Mesereau go into attack mode today when the woman takes a stand again?
Absolutely. Absolutely. He sat there and actually leaned back and just let her go on and on. Very few objections over 2 days. He is expected to come out with both guns blazing today, attacking her as a grifter. This is the key to the defense case. They're saying basically this mother made it up. She coached her kids to lie. I have to tell you, this is one of the top attorneys in the United States versus a supposedly unsophisticated woman. But one thing she has in her favor is that she's quite stubborn. She's unpredictable. Mm. And even the Jackson people, guilty or innocent, found that it's hard to get her to do what you want her to do.
Maybe she'll jump off the sand and start clawing his face maniacally while shrieking at the top of her lungs. Tom Mesrick is a weird-looking guy. Looks like some Alexander Hamilton Continental Congress guy. He's got, like, the long, flowing silver hair and whatnot.
Honey, all he needs is spats.
Button shoes.
So wig.
It is one of my great laments. In some parallel bizarro universe, you're able to go home every day and just watch hours and hours of Jackson coverage on television, I realize that the Michael Jackson case is not taking the country by storm the way that the OJ case did, but, you know, what are you going to do? To me, it's just still the best thing going on. So there you go. There's your Jackson watch for Friday.
The siphoning of gasoline is quickly becoming a social ill as widespread as methamphetamine addiction. But there is something you can do to stop it. Buy a locking gas cap. This auto parts store employee explains how it works.
It goes over the gas thing and it locks itself so that way nobody can open without the key. So that keeps it from a lot of people from siphoning down gas. And
what channel was that?
MSNBC. It was a top story.
Is it really necessary to explain the concept of a lock to the people who watch MSNBC? I mean, I didn't complete college or anything, but I believe I can grasp the concept of a locking lid that goes over the top of something.
They sent out a crew to interview that fellow.
Locking. This is welcome to the illustrious world of television, Sarah. Are you going to do the... Well, you're not doing weather. You're doing traffic, though.
Yeah, everyone keeps asking me about the weather. I'm like, no, I don't know anything about the weather.
See, but here's the thing. I'm telling you right now, I'm predicting your career letters. What it is. This is how it works in TV. You'll do traffic. Then you will start doing weekend weather. Do they do weekend weather?
I don't know.
They must. Does anyone know?
I would imagine so.
How
all the other
not?
Stations do.
All right. So so you'll start doing traffic. Then you'll move it to weekend weather. And once you do weekend weather, then you'll do weekday fill-in weather. Bada bing. Next thing you know, they'll have you doing some nightlife thing where you're roaming the town and shoving a microphone rudely into people's faces.
And I don't have to wake up at 3:30 in the morning.
Yeah, there you go. That's what I'm doing. And then you won't.
Perfect
yeah, then you'll
job. Have
to
that's my
drag
goal.
Your ass there to the studio. Rick, this email says, does Coyne know what they're getting into with Sarah? Are they prepared to handle the deluge of freakish emails and callers? All hail the beautiful Sarah-type dudes hanging around the lobby of the building. They're about to set the world on its ear by causing dozens of your listeners to actually wake up before 9:02 a.m. to get their stalking fix in. Just thought they'd like to know. That's from Steve. Yeah. See, the thing is, you think you've been stalked now. Oh, you don't. You think people get that idea that Sarah and I are really good friends? Really? You hang out? No, but I listen to her on the radio, so therefore I know she loves me too. Really? How's it working out? Well, I'm trying to collect some locks of her hair to make a tiny Haitian voodoo doll. You think you get that now? Wait till your face is on television. You wait till your face is on TV, man. You're gonna get guys waiting outside to scrape off skin flakes to
well,
grow
I'm
one of their own.
Just gonna be on every
home.
Once in a while.
Sure. Okay. Whatever you say.
I think traffic is presented several times an hour.
That girl, that my sister Sam girl was only on TV for like 3 weeks. Look how that worked out.
Here's, what happened to her?
Oh, never mind. No.
We're not going to do that.
Never mind.
Oh, come on.
Never mind. It's before your time. Yes. I don't want to unnerve you unnecessarily. We shouldn't talk about it. Here's Tim Riley.
Here's the Britney watch.
It's best that we don't talk about it. You don't want to know. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, she spoke with her mama, Kathy Champ, the editor of Britney's hometown newspaper in Louisiana.
I saw Lynn yesterday morning, congratulated her, and asked her if she had any message to send. I said, I know I'm going to be bombarded by media. She said, tell them she is ecstatic, and she's glad she can finally tell people that Britney's pregnant.
It's so hard not to hate Southern people.
Really, it is. And I hate to, I don't like to generalize your stereotype. Freaking goddamn, did Jen Lane, who just went all crazy yesterday, did a screw Gresham.
Was it Gresham she was picking
off?
Yeah. Jen came in, and Jen's clearly had some bad experience with somebody in Gresham. She went all nutty about it yesterday. So I try not to make rash stereotypes based upon the area that somebody comes from. But goddamn, people from the South just sound dumb. I mean, they just sound dumb as a box of hammers. I'm not saying they are. Yeah, but I'm just saying, it is very hard not to view them that. Like, even Britney Spears, and you guys know what I'm talking about. Do you remember, you guys out there, do you remember the last time, or the first time, rather, you heard Anna Nicole Smith speak? Because for some reason, I had gotten it in my head early on, would have been the early 90s, when she was a guest model. I had it in my head somehow that Anna Nicole Smith was, like, French. Before I'd ever heard her talk, because it's like, I didn't have E and everything shoving Anna Nicole Smith down my throat 24 hours a day. So I remember when Anna Nicole Smith was just a guest model, and then she did her first couple spreads in Playboy, and of course everybody was just, every guy on earth was just gaga over her. But I had it in my head that she was like Parisian somehow, and then she was all, take me away to a place of, Calgon. And then it's like the first time you heard her speak, and it was like that horrible, like, Kentucky foghorn of a goddamn voice that she had. Your brain is just never ready to accept that. Ditto with Britney Spears. It's not a good accent for anybody.
Supermodel Heidi Klum, who's married to Seal, who will soon have a baby Seal, offers Britney some advice on maternity wear.
Difficult. Sometimes I think it is actually better to show, your beautiful belly and kind of, like, go a little bit more on the tighter route when you get too big, because otherwise you just look like a house.
Did you refer to Heidi Klum as being about to have a baby Seal?
That's correct.
That's fantastic.
Well, she is married to Seal. That's today's
walking to the classic thing. I think you may be the first morning show person to refer to the baby Seal. Good news, Tim Riley.
Now everybody's going to steal that. Be listening this afternoon.
Just write that down. This email says, Rick, about Sarah. TV news is all fun and games until you're at the bottom of a sump well putting the lotion in the basket. Something to remember.
What's that mean?
The silence of the...
This is not very nice.
Oh, you hurt my nog.
Well, somebody just called and made a good point. Jeff, the traffic guy, called, and he said that as soon as there's a winter weather storm, they're probably going to send me out to Troutdale.
Oh, completely, no. As soon as... because you're going to be the low person on the totem pole for a while. And when there's some sort of like a horde of locusts or something attacking the city, you think a full-timer is going to go out there to do that? You think somebody who's been there for like 40 years?
I'll go up the skyline and wait for the first snowflake.
Stand outside in a Columbia sportswear jacket and point at the sky for a while.
Because of you, they cancel my soap operas.
As you can see, there's weather happening behind me.
That's going to be you.
So, and you're going to be all like, you're going to be all bundled up in your REI thing. Just sitting there going... Yes, that's right. And then they'll throw it to you, and then you'll say...
But I won't get the cue on time, and I'll be standing there looking like an ass. Staring at the camera.
Totally, the lag time.
Thanks, Jim.
And or it'll be that uncomfortable moment that we've all seen on television where he says... And so there's the guy in the studio shuffling his papers. I got to get a paper shuffling sound for when I talk about TV. But he's shuffling his papers, and he says, that's one terrific pick. Well, meanwhile, in weather, our own Sarah Dillon is... Oh, they're not going to let you keep the X, probably. It's going to be too edgy for them.
No, I'm going to be Sarah Dillon.
All right. Yeah. Say, our own Sarah Dillon is standing up at, some godforsaken place we didn't want to go to. Sarah, what's the weather like up there? And it's going to be the long pause because you will not be able to hear him for some reason. And there's going to be that horrible, awkward moment where you do that... like smiling into the camera. And then followed by the... Well, Jeff, I can't hear you, but that's right. I am standing at a Taco Bell.
At the East Malala Lions Club pancake breakfast.
At Freddy's Blinds and Drapery, where things are on sale all day long.
Mary's Thimble Shop offering 30% off today.
We only poke fun because we love you. Mm-hmm. Well, let's break here, shall we? We'll break. We'll come back. Here's what's coming up. We have a fantastic Darwin watch on the way. Rick Emerson's... Democracy on the March. Later on, Scott Daly, Peter Carlin for the first time in a long time here. We get the Jolie on the way. Don't forget, Listener Party 8, your chance to say a fond farewell to Sarah Dillon comes up tonight. The Viper Room, 8 p.m. Stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. Best thing out there was life. Don't come cheap.
9 till noon, there's only one choice for local talk. Rick Emerson, right here on Max 910, talk radio for guys.
The Lord came to Noah one afternoon. There will be a flood and it will happen real soon. Build the an ark big enough for all. Yourself, your family, one pair each of animals. Two by two, four by four, obeying instructions given by the Lord. Go unto the ark where you'll be safe. As soon as they got in there, it began to rain.
Excellent. Tammy Swindell on the Rick Emerson Show. Children are from heaven. 503-535-9100. Thank you for coming by. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Tim Riley.
Time for the Darwin Watch.
Here's your Darwin Watch.
Another one bites the dust. Another one bites the dust. And another one gone. And another one gone. Another one bites the dust.
Uh-oh. My heart just stopped. Ah, there it goes.
This comes to us from England. A drunken prank resulted in a man plunging through a flat window to his death. Amateur rugby player Gareth Mason was impaled on railings below. A hearing is being told on how he dropped his trousers during the prank after he returned to a flat with friends following a pub crawl. The verdict of death is misadventure. Mr. Mason was heavily intoxicated at the time he lost his balance. The group, which consisted of man and woman, had returned to Mr. Mason's first floor flat while eating a kebab. He was seen staggering and just moments later pulling down his trousers and underwear. Witnesses then described how he waddled to the window shortly after and lost his balance and fell.
Now, so here's what we've got so far. And by the way, the story's only half over. Here's what we've got so far. Drunken rugby player. His name is Gareth, which is funny. He was impaled on some spikes on a fence below. He was eating a kebab while pulling down his pants and waddling towards a window.
In a statement to police, Katie Stansby, who was in the flat at the time, said someone mentioned girls to Mr. Mason, and he dropped his trousers and jokingly shouted, "Who wants some of this?"
Yeah.
Well, he said it as a joke, and he said it out the window, but there was no one out there. His trousers and pants were around his ankles, and he could not move. He bent forward and fell out the window.
That's fantastic.
He put both of his hands up, palms up, tried to stop himself, but he missed the window and fell through. It looks like he lost his balance. No one was near him at the time.
There you go. Fantastic. Well done, rugby players of the world. There's your Darwin Watch.
I ate all my cap. My parents won't let me use scissors.
Another one bites the dust. Another one bites the dust. And another one gone. And another one gone. Another one bites the dust.
Hey. Uh-oh. My heart just stopped. Ah, there it goes.
The best part of that story, by the way, is that he's eating a kebab while pulling down his pants and saying, "Who wants some of this?" while waddling towards it. I mean, it's all good. That I'm going to go out on a limb and say that so far in the history of this program, it's the best of all snuff watches, the best one we've ever had.
Perhaps I should be framed.
I'm sorry, what, Sarah?
Some guy just told me that story about the girl.
About Rebecca Shaver.
Face shooting.
It wasn't in the face.
Stalker.
I think it was right in the chest.
Oh, that's good.
Because he had a double-barreled shotgun.
Oh, my God.
Behold the magic of television. So there you go. So you've got that to look forward to. I mean, let me tell you that I've done a very, very limited amount of television in my life, a minuscule amount. But I remember the biggest television exposure I ever had was that one time long, long ago when I was on the O'Reilly Factor. One night, once, one time, And Lara can tell you this. She can confirm this. I was on the O'Reilly Factor once. The only time I'd ever been on anything approaching, you know, that level of television. The next day, three different people who did not know who I was stopped me and said, "Were you thinking I was on TV last night?" And they just, like, they had no idea who I was, didn't know anything about me.
Did he tell you to shut up like Al Franken?
Shut up! Like the total, the Elvis Singer syndrome, where it's like they had no idea who I was, but they recognized me as that guy who was on the television the night before. And that's not like repeated television exposure in a small town, you know, where everybody is gonna know that. So there you go. So you probably never, ever, ever have to buy a drink again, though. I mean, whatever drinks you were getting bought for you now, that's going to be double.
Yeah, well, I'll never, ever be able to go out again. I'm going to be up. I have to be, like, presentable at 3:30 in the morning.
Just go out wearing a burqa.
You need some big, beefy bodyguards.
Yes. All right, here's Tim Riley.
A lactating woman in Miramar, which is the country, has volunteered to breastfeed a pair of endangered Bengal tiger cubs recently born at a zoo and separated from their aggressive mother.
Fantastic.
The two-week-old cubs, a male and female, were taken from their mother, Noah, after she was killed, prompting veterinarians to engage in alternative child care. Haya Hatai, who is 40, a relative of a garden staffer and mother of three, including a seven-month-old baby, stepped in when she learned the cubs needed breast milk to survive. I felt sorry for them, so I decided to feed them before their teeth grow. The cubs go on public display in 2 months' time.
The best part is that the story just starts with a lactating mother.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody sent me yesterday, and it was one of those things where it was labeled as one thing and then it turned to be another. Like, the subject line was like, new Jessica Simpson or something, and just a picture of a woman breastfeeding a monkey. The woman, totally with the
yeah.
That's like the flashing monkey zookeeper story.
Totally.
I just got out of my head until right this second.
Right there with the faucet out and the monkey.
Oh my god.
Which, and it's like not a thing that I had time to prepare for. And the worst part with a picture like that is that you look at it for longer than you normally would. Because, like, if somebody sent you a picture and it was labeled, like, here is a picture of a monkey being breastfed by a woman. Like, you'd probably still look at it, you know, because, you know, who doesn't want to see that? But you'd look for just a second and be like, okay, I'm done. But because you go into it thinking it's like a Jessica Simpson picture, you look at it and then your brain can't really comprehend what you're seeing for a second. Like, you can't get your brain around it. And so you kind of look at it for 5 or 10 seconds trying to understand what it is that you're seeing. And so the net result is that you see it for three times as long. So it's just burned into your cortex like a bad screensaver.
Time for Democracy on the March.
Here's Rick Emerson's Democracy on the March.
It's bigger and badder, and we'll be right at home with the GIs patrolling Baghdad, but they don't love getting anything this good. GM is taking the wraps out the 2006 Hummer H1. The military-style Humvee gets a new Duramax turbo diesel V8, and it's in the upgraded Alpha model. The 300-horsepower engine is needed to move the 7,600-pound beast. The civilian Hummer has touches GIs can only dream about, such as air conditioning, power windows and door locks, a premium stereo system, and leather-trimmed seats. But you'll need something like the Pentagon budget to buy one. The hardtop Hummer H1 has a sticker price of $140,000. That's right. The last model started at only $106,000. There's no official government fuel economy rating yet, but the two fuel tanks hold about 52 gallons of gas, which GM should get you about 600 miles.
And that is what? That's the civilian model?
That is the civilian model.
Yes, because why would you need air conditioning and door locks in Iraq?
Yeah.
Luckily, we're taking the place over where all the oil comes from, so gas should become cheaper any day now.
It's cheaper over there.
It really is,
it's
too.
Like 5 cents a gallon. We're subsidizing it.
Good times, ladies and gentlemen. There's Rick Emerson's Democracy in the March. Rick, breastfeeding monkey. You must post that. Please, please, please post it so I can look at it. See, there you go. He's probably a coin watcher.
So, you know, you're going to be all set. You'll have lots of things to talk about.
Here's Tim Riley.
Yes, please send us your breastfeeding monkey pictures so we can put them up during the weather segment.
Hand-drawn, like kids, crayon drawings of breastfeeding monkey pictures that they can put, like, behind the set, like adorning the wall, like a collage.
See, Jeff Granola, checkling about that. Well, since you're going to be at the listener party tonight, you're not going to be home to watch TV, but let me tell you what to set your thing at to record. A biography features Jeffrey Dahmer tonight, The
Fantastic.
Monster Within.
Excellent.
Immediately followed by a biography of Ted Bundy, The Mind of a Killer. The Amityville Horror. Melissa George plays Kathy Lutz in this modern remake. The film is based on the true story of a family who moves into what they believe is the house of their dreams, only to discover it is the house of horrific history.
Yeah, yeah.
Melissa shares her thoughts on the account of events that happened at the house.
I think, look, if something happened, I think it would have happened to them. I mean, they never came to the house for one thing, and I believe something happened in that house for them not to come back for one thing. I believe that. As far as me, I've never seen anything like that in my life, so I can't say I believe it because I know how it feels.
Melissa, talk about filming nude scenes and share your feelings about them in general.
There's ways around it. I mean, we were all clothed. There's nothing. I had things on the front just to make sure that nothing was shown or anything like that. I mean, it's just an issue that you don't want to give. You don't want to do it for. You don't want to be one of those actresses that does it for everything. I mean, it's about, if it was necessary for the
about
story,
the character,
I would do it. But if you can do without it, I would rather not do it.
All right, there you go. We've got the. What else is on the line? I know you're not going to be able to watch anything,
no.
But we've got the. Let's see.
Nothing on.
Boy, PAX continues to be the worst network on earth. It's Family Feud. I thought the Family Feud guy was dead.
I think they got a new one.
Who's doing Family Feud now? It's not Ray Combs. He's dead in a closet somewhere. And then I thought it went away after that.
Well, whatever.
Some B-celebrity, probably. The worst John Candy movie of all time, Delirious, after that. Oh, biography, Charles Whitman. He's the Clock Tower guy, right?
Oh, yeah. That is true.
He's not, because Charlie Starkweather's the guy that drove across the country with his girlfriend.
Right.
Yeah, Charles Whitman, the Clock Tower shooter. Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, 16 Candles. These are all things that are on every day, anyway.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really matter. All right, and Stockard Channing on Lifetime, The Truth About Jane, followed by a movie starring Tim Matheson and Reba McEntire. Boy, how could life get any better, huh?
That's good casting.
Yes. Fantastic. Somebody, they've got that woman from Project Greenlight working on that one.
Well, I think that was on last night.
I hit the wrong button. Hold on. Here we go. I'm almost caught up in Project Greenlight, by the way. I missed last week's, but I taped the rebroadcast of it, and so I am halfway through last week's.
I won't talk about it then.
After which I will watch this week. So by Monday, I will be entirely up to speed. They're both on the TiVo, but I've no time right now, so I've fallen further. And the good news, bad news about the TiVo is you sort of just tell yourself, well, I can watch it anytime. And so as a result, you just put it off and put it off and put it off. And so you get to where I am right now, like 9 Arrested Developments that I got to watch. So all before the season finale that comes up, because it comes up this Sunday.
Robin Williams plays Pappas, a mentally challenged man, who befriends a teenage boy in 1970s New Jersey. Oh, this sounds really good.
Kill myself.
Robin, please tell us the story, briefly.
Essentially a boy coming of age in New York in the 70s. He's 14. Crucial time. First love. First everything. You know, kind of massive changes in his life.
Yeah. Thanks, Robin. That was
Robin, please discuss the relationship between Pappas and Tommy.
They run a delivery service for a delicatessen. I'm actually a butcher, and they deliver meat. And I kind of, I'm the muscle. I drive the pedal of the cart, but he's also there to take care of the business because I have no capacity with numbers. And it's kind of like his friend, you know. And for me, very important because that's one of the only people I can hang out with, being, you know, basically a 45-year-old with the mind of a 12-year-old.
This looks like the worst movie ever. And the good news is that I understand it's not going to be playing in Portland, so you'll never have to see it. Scott Daly apparently was supposed to go to Seattle to interview David Duchovny. What a gripping experience that would probably be. It's like interviewing a tree. But I guess that they canceled that because the Portland screening of this movie has been, the Portland showing of the film has been canceled because it clearly, this is obviously a thing where David Duchovny had some production deal that he signed at some point. Somebody agreed to give him the chance to make a film. He made the film, but now they're going to just, It's going to be like that guy in Overnight, the Boondock Saints guy, where they're just going to fulfill the contract by opening it at like one studio somewhere for like 3 days and then taking it away. Rick, this email says, Louis Anderson was the host of Family Feud for a while. Whatever happened to Louis Anderson? Where the hell did that guy go? But then someone came to their senses. Now the Tool Time guy, Al, from Home Improvement, is the host. Boy. Oh, boy.
Oh, I've seen that. It's terrible.
Oh, man. That's...
Next, it'll probably be Bob Vila.
That's really sad. Personally, I'm holding out for undead zombie Richard Dawson.
Is he still alive?
Survey says brains, followed by crunching sounds.
Oh. Ew.
Is Richard Dawson dead?
I don't know. Nobody Richard talks Dawson. About him anymore.
He's not dead.
He's thinking of Bob Crane.
Yeah, Richard Dawson's alive, and you know, Richard Dawson, I think. Isn't it? I don't know when.
Nobody's heard from him.
If we could do one of those morning shows. Is he dead or is he Canadian? I don't know. Richard Dawson, he's one of those weird George Hamilton permatan guys. You know what I mean? Where he's just, or George Kennedy, whoever it is, George Hamilton. Where he's just always like a weird leathery orangey. Like that's the sort of color that Brian Kipe's going to be, that the bling guy's going to be when he's, you know, when he's like 50 or whatever. So, God, Brian was going on again yesterday after the show about his chest hair.
No, and how he hasn't been tanning in 2 weeks or worked out, and how he feels flabby and pasty. And he's like the orangest, like, most toned person I've ever seen in my life.
He doesn't, he's all, I don't feel like I'm up to my true blingness. I haven't tanned in 2 weeks. I'm not as orange as
because
I should
be. Trying to convince him to shave his chest hair on stage.
Yeah. Is somebody calling us? Who's...
No, it can't be.
No, I mean on the hotline, yeah. Looks like they
do. Do you want to answer or do you want me to?
Let me see who it is. That's on the studio warm line. Hi, Rick Emerson. Hi, what's up? Kyle. Sarah, do you want the Subway sandwich meal or just the sandwich itself, girl who's going to be on television, seen by everybody?
I actually like the meal, please, with the baked Lays and the Diet Coke.
You sure about that?
Pretty sure. No, Sun Chips.
Okay, but you're sure that you want the whole meal, television girl?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, she'll take the whole meal. No, I know, I told her. No, I know. Well, it's not me that's going to be on TV.
You are an
all right.
Ass.
All right. Okay, see you. All right, there you go. What? Oh, come on. It's just joking.
Come on.
Well, you've got a whole week to start purging, right?
What?
I'm not the one. I'm not saying you have to, but you're the one who announced. This is Sarah announced really proudly. I'm going to become anorexic. This was like your plan. Because we've all done how it's not like anybody here's got like a serious weight problem. I just haven't been exercising as much because it's like me, because it's like I'm a lazy bastard. And you, because you were getting up too early to ride your bike, and kickboxing is just like your whole schedule was all weird. So it's like we've been talking about, well, we got to get back to the exercise thing. And Sarah announced really brightly that she didn't plan to exercise. Her whole plan was just to become anorexic. So, because it worked for what's her name? Who was,
Terry Schiavo?
Not Terry Schiavo. Jessica Savage? Is that the name I'm looking for,
yeah.
Tim? Yeah, there you go.
Anorexia worked for her?
No, she was a newscastress from back in the day.
She was high on drugs.
Yeah, she was before your time, but she was a cokehead. She was like one of the first real high-profile female news anchors. Became a big cokehead. And then she killed herself, or was it a car wreck? How'd she die?
I don't remember. That's so long ago.
We're not talking about something no one cares about. Oh, Kristen from accounting emails in. Richard Dawson is indeed dead. There you go. Well, who knew? That makes everybody.
I wonder when that happened.
I can, you know what? I can tell you this. I can give you the name of everybody that was on Hogan's Heroes.
Nobody's asking you to.
Bob Crane dead. Richard Dawson dead. Warner Klemperer, he's got to be dead. John Banner is Schultz, he's probably dead. Larry Hovis. Ivan Dixon. And then whoever it is that played the LeBeau. I think the LeBeau guy's dead too. This is the dullest radio we've ever done. Hi, you're listening to KFTK. I just sat and listed from memory all the cast members of Hogan's Heroes.
And nobody even asked you to either.
No, it was just Richard Dawson killed himself, this email says. Good God, who's calling the warm line again? Oh, no one. It's KOTK, Vancouver, Portland, KSLF, St. Louis, Intercom Station. I've gone all crazy. Okay, this email is from, it's from Mara. It says, subject line, Richard Dawson. Richard Dawson killed himself a number of years ago. Another wow. Logan's fallen heroes. F. Matt with Colonel Klink.
This F. Matt
with a
is
gun or
by Barfly
drugs?
It doesn't really say. Hanging? He just tanned himself to death. I don't know. If someone knows how Richard Dawson, no, she's thinking of Ray Combs. No, you are wrong.
No, you're right. He did kill himself.
Richard Dawson?
No, Ray Combs.
I don't know what we're talking about anymore. Here's Tim Riley.
Now let's do the teacher segment, shall we?
Oh, here's your hot for teacher. Rick Emerson, hot for teacher.
When Mary Kay Letourneau was released from prison in August 2004, she was required to register as a sex offender. Now she's registered as a bride-to-be at WinningChannel.com. Letourneau, the pretty blonde school teacher from suburban Seattle, who spent 7.5 years in prison for raping Vili Vilau, one of her grade school students, apparently now intends to marry him. Letourneau, who is 43 and Vilau is now 22, are slated to say I do tomorrow.
That's when did tomorrow. This happen? Where was I did this happen?
That totally crept up on us.
I haven't sent a card or anything.
At a church in front of 200 of their best friends.
How could Mary Kay Letourneau and Billy Full... I don't have 200 friends I could invite, and I haven't gone to prison. Where would Billy Full and Mary Kay Letourneau find 200? Well, I'd go. But, I mean, they can't all just be talk show hosts and members of the press. We'd all go, right?
Sure. Maybe they're other students.
We should totally go. We should road trip to Mary Kay Letourneau.
The Stefaner gift registry is expensive, though.
Well, then I read that there was a link this morning to whatever.
You go to my blog, you find it right there.
Yeah, there you go. Go to Tim Riley's blog. You can look at Mary Kay Letourneau's bridal registry for her marriage to nutcase Vili Vilau.
Whether or not the nuptials will take place this weekend, their online gift registry is quickly filling up. The request for Villeroy and Bach Casual China and Kate Spade Stemware on their Macy's registry have been filled, but so far there have been no takers for a scone pan or pizza maker on the Williams Saconum.
A scone pan. All right, there you go. There's your hot for teacher for Friday on the Rick Emerson Show. Crept up on us. Rick, Amanda says, it was the other Price is Right guy who hung himself. I think that guy is confusing him with Super Happy Replacement Host. Okay, so...
Not Price is Right. Bob Barker's always done the Price is Right. Is he not about to hang himself?
Okay, let's all stop. Price is Right guy, still alive, unless you're talking about Johnny Olsen, who died of natural causes years ago.
He was the announcer, he wasn't the host.
So, right, but Price is Right host, Bob Barker, still alive. Like Price is Right announcer, Johnny Olsen, dead of natural causes years ago.
Nobody remembers Johnny Olsen.
Family Feud, Richard Dawson, dead of causes still to be determined. Family Feud host Ray Combs... I'm not going to start all over. Hung himself in a closet years ago. Was it in Vegas? Or was that the guy?
We have got to move
on. I think
it
was in Pasadena.
It's the right place to do it. Now hosted by Al from Tool Time, not dead of anything. We still don't know how Richard Dawson died.
The curse of Family Feud.
It's like the poltergeist curse. Here's Tim Riley.
This is rather odd, but true. The rare discovery of eggs inside a dinosaur has given scientists new clues about the reproductive biology of the creatures and more support for the theory that birds came from dinosaurs. The pair of shelled eggs is the first of its kind found inside a dinosaur, say researchers who reported the discovery in Friday's issue of Journal of Science. Scientists found the dinosaur produced eggs in some ways like a crocodile, and in other ways like a bird. Crocodiles and similar primitive reptiles have two ovaries, enabling them to lay a clutch of eggs.
I find the word ovary to be really unpleasant. I don't know why.
It is.
That's an icky word. It's like the word moist. I just don't. I don't care for it. Ovaries, and I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with ovaries as such, depending on who you are, I suppose. There's something unpleasant about that word.
The theory that birds come from dinosaurs has been supported by many researchers, but the latest research advances it, adding it gives strong evidence. There have been previous findings of round objects around dinosaur skeletons, and scientists have suspected there might be eggs, and because they didn't have shells, they weren't certain. The scientists discovered a dinosaur from a group of dinosaurs called... I'm not even going to try to pronounce this one. This type of dinosaur, probably 10 feet to 13 feet long, is a subgroup of theropods, thought to be the ancestors of modern birds.
All right, excellent. Okay, here we go. Rick, we at who2.com... It's like a Dr. Seuss site. Who, it's at WHO and then the number 2.com. I guess it's some internet answer site. Frequently get people writing in to find out if Richard Dawson killed himself. Apparently it's a thing that people are very occupied with. They get him confused with Ray Combs.
Richard Dawson is part of our feature, I'm Not Dead Yet. Would you like a list of people who aren't dead yet? Abe Vigoda, not dead. Often looked dead, isn't. Richard Dawson, not dead yet. Scott Baio, not dead yet.
They've still got Bob Hope listed here, though.
Steve Burns, not dead. James Cromwell. James Cromwell's another guy who looks like he ought to be dead. James Cromwell's like Abe Vigoda, one of those guys. You've never seen him young. Like, remember Abe Vigoda in The Godfather, which is, what, like 72, and he looks like 100 years old then.
Mm-hmm.
James Cromwell, who's the guy from Babe. He's still alive. George Harrison. Ooh, no. All right, okay, but Richard Dawson, apparently still alive. Ray Combs, dead from hanging. Bob Barker, alive and groping. Okay, here's, let's not have this ever come up again. This email says, Rick, I'm not getting there fast enough. Kara needs to get on the mic more, my friend. My bottle of Jack Daniels is moving down to empty a little too slow. This needs to go along a little faster because I have errands I need to run. I have no idea what this
is. I don't understand.
He just signs it, fuzzily yours, F. Matt, with any number of dead celebrities.
This F. Matt is,
I don't even understand what this
Bob
is about.
Magazine.
I guess he's just drinking to the sweet, sweet sound of your voice so he can leave the house and do some errands.
Hey, I'm having a cocktail right after the show.
Attention. Well, you could probably have a cocktail during the show. We get Kyle to run the board.
You can't get fired at this point.
Seriously, what are they going to do? What are they going to do? Tell you they don't want you here? So, I mean, Kyle's off getting you food, but as soon as he comes back, you just he put him on the board?
We don't have any liquor.
There's cake here.
Okay, did you hear that? We don't have any liquor. There you go. Problem going to be solved. Problem solved in like 10 minutes. Well, hell, Uncle Steve came by yesterday and brought you like a vodka tonic in a bag. It was like a little thing of tonic, a little thing of vodka, and a lime.
He did. I very much appreciate it, Uncle Steve. And, well, that's what I'm going to have when I get home.
And Jack brought her a cake.
All right. I'm sorry.
Yes, thank you, Jack.
Oh, yeah. Our good friend Jack brought a cake today.
It smells really good.
Made by his wife.
By the way, we're starting to sound like we're on AM Northwest. So don't forget, we're going to be giving away tickets to the listener pre-party as well. Maybe we'll quiz people later this hour on celebrities and whether they're dead or not.
That'd be fun.
What a wonderful tie-in. Look at you.
What a fantastic show bit that is.
So is someone going to dress as Richard Dawson?
No, because he's not dead.
Oh.
Because Richard Dawson is not dead. Ray Combs, dead.
Johnny Olsen?
And Mormon. Johnny Olsen, dead, and whatever. All right, let's never talk about that again. Here's Tim Riley.
Time for a Cannibal Watch.
Here's your Cannibal Watch.
A New Jersey man who was mistakenly accused of cannibalism is suing a doctor and the Newark and Parsippany police departments. Victor Salazar and his wife said they suffered embarrassment and needed counseling after an X-ray at Immaculate Medical Care in the city last year raised questions about his diet. When the doctor asked if he'd eaten any bones, Salazar forgot about the soup he had the day before that included pieces of...
I'm sorry. I was distracted by a thing. I'm sorry. His stomach was filled with bones?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He had forgotten about the soup he eaten the day before included...
Pieces of bone?
Pieces of chicken feet.
I
don't know the habits of you carnivores.
Where is this?
New Jersey.
I don't understand.
Yeah, well, apparently it's some new kind of chicken soup,
chicken
which includes
soup?
Pieces of chicken feet.
Go to the store and pick me up some of them chicken feet.
The hell?
Okay, so he...
Who eats bones?
Apparently, Victor Salazar and his wife.
Isn't Victor Salazar like a? Isn't Victor Salazar? Isn't he? Doesn't he the president of El Salvador or something?
No. He hosted Family Feud one time.
So he, let's all stop. He goes to the doctor.
Mm-hmm. Get some X-rays.
The doctor says, "Well, you've got all these bones in your stomach."
The medical examiner wondered if the film showed bits of finger bones. So police began an investigation. It was when Newark homicide investigators went to Salazar's home that he mentioned the soup. Police took along some chicken from his kitchen and x-rayed the feet.
Finger
bones. And pronounced him a cannibal.
But it was just, it wasn't finger bones.
No, it was chicken feet. And that's a lesson for everyone to learn, I guess.
That man's name was Jesus Christ. All right. Oh, we're done now. There's a cannibal watch.
Eat it, if it's getting old.
Okay, somebody has sent me a definitive listing of people who are dead and people who are merely believed to be dead. I don't know. We don't dare do it here, but maybe we'll do it in the next segment. We'll talk to Peter Carlin as well. 503-535-9100. Let's do one more here.
A man accused of dousing former presidential candidate Pat Buchanan with salad dressing has pleaded not guilty in a Kalamazoo court. Samuel John Messick was arraigned on charges of disturbing the peace Thursday. He reportedly tossed a cup of salad dressing on the conservative commentator at a speech he was giving at Western Michigan University on March 31st. Buchanan decided not to press felony assault charges against the man. Messick will be back in court at the end of the month.
Good times. All right, here we go. We've got a clarification, by the way.
Okay, so somebody's alive.
Well, this is a clarification of one of these people. God damn. Hi there, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Hey, this is Chris.
Hi, Chris. How can I help you?
Oh, not too much. We're not on the air, are we?
No. No, of course. Yes, you are.
Am I?
Yes. Yeah.
I didn't realize.
Is that okay?
It's a talk show.
All right. What? How can I help you?
Oh, I was just calling to say goodbye to Sarah.
Well, I'll see you tonight, right?
Yes. Yes, when you call the on-air line to the station, you have what the FCC calls a reasonable expectation that you will be put on the air.
Yes, I just didn't expect you to answer the phone, Rick.
Well, here I am. It's the sort of personal service that makes the Rick Emerson Show stand out.
Will we see you tonight, Chris?
Yeah.
Sounds like it's looking forward to the party.
Sounds like it's going to be a good time. All right,
if
there
you have
go.
Something to buy, swap, or give away, please, no babysitting or firearms.
That was just sort of a, well, I got to elevate my feet today. Doctor says the...
My corns are hurting.
My bunions are acting up. Hi, Rick Emerson chose this.
Hey, it's Cliff.
Hi, Cliff. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
How can I help you today, Cliff?
Oh, I was just curious on who's dead and who's not.
Any particular name?
So, I mean, yeah, are you looking for a name in particular? I don't have time to list everyone who's dead and everyone who's alive. It's only a 3-hour show. I couldn't even get to the T's in that amount of time.
Well, I'm just curious. Are we calling Dick Clark dead or not?
He's
obviously dead.
He is begging his pals, according to the Inquirer, he is begging his pals to let him die, but they've denied his request. What?
The 10-day rule, right?
Which is what? If you haven't seen him for 10 days?
Well, if, you know, 10 days happens, 10 days before they say something, it already happened.
Oh, yeah, so the 10-day delay. So when the Pope is sick, he's very sick. When he's gravely sick, he's dead. And when he's dead, he's buried. Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. So... Dick Clark begging pals to let him die.
But the Shivos are protesting outside his house.
They're on a tour. They've since moved on. Dick Clark is the... he's their new stand-in. I don't know. Dick Clark technically... I heard him doing Rock, Roll, and Remember, or whatever the hell, on Kissin' this morning. With a noticeable slur, I might add. So
Before the stroke.
So who knows? I'm not really sure about that, Cliff.
Ah, bummer.
All right. Are you coming to the listener party, Cliff?
Oh, yes, I am.
All right. Thank you, sir. We'll see you tonight.
Yes, you will.
Let's just take some more of these just because. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
This is Alan. How you doing?
Hi, Alan. How can I help you today?
Yeah, I was just curious. I'm listening to the show. I haven't been able to listen for a while. Is Sarah leaving?
Sarah?
Yes, I am. Today's my last day.
Really? Where are you going?
I'm going to do traffic reporting on Coin 6 News in the morning.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. So you're not even going to be on NRK then?
No. Where I finished up with that last week.
Oh.
You're really out of the loop here, Alan. What, have you been out of the country or something?
I don't get you on my AM at the office.
Ah, I see. Yes, you got to come to the listener party. This is your last chance to buy Sarah a vodka tonic as a radio personality.
I will be there. There's no drinking monkey, though, right?
No.
I think.
I don't know, because we talked to the guy and never heard from him again, so he might show up with it.
Well, this is a good point, actually, that we decided amongst ourselves here that the monkey was probably a bad idea. We gave the monkey a thumbs down, but it is worth noting that I don't think any of us ever called the monkey man and told him that. So who knows what might just appear at the door at the listener party.
Well, if there's a monkey there, I'll be there. That'd be awesome.
Okay, yeah, I can't really vouch for the monkey one way or the other at this point.
All right, well, thanks, man.
Thank you, sir. Okay, let's do one more here, and then we'll be done with this for more. Hi, Rick Emerson, chose this.
Hi, my name's Jeff.
Hi, Jeff. How can I help you today?
Hello?
Yeah.
Hi. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm fine. It's
wonderful.
It's cold where I am. Is it cold where you are?
Actually, no. I'm in a car, and it's mighty warm.
Great. Okay.
I was just wondering if anyone's coming as Christopher Reeve.
I don't know. I can't say anything one way or the other. I don't know. Because people haven't really told us. We've heard that there's... Well, I know that Jen Lane was talking about coming as Eileen Wuornos. So
is it wheelchair access?
I don't know. I think there's like an elevator or something.
Yeah.
It's hard to say. I don't know. Are you coming tonight, sir?
Possibly, yes.
All right. What possibly? What is that?
I really would like to, but I may not be able to. I have a wife.
Oh, so bring her along.
She rules my life, sir.
Well,
but I'm going
to
try.
Well, welcome to my world. But bring her along. It'll be a good time.
Okay.
Yeah, she'll have a good time. There'll be you can buy her something fruity and alcoholic.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
I'll do it.
All right. Excellent. There you go. All right. 503-535-9100. Well, that whole segment just went into the. That was some carefully crafted radio that just went right off a cliff. There is what that was. Nothing more interesting than 30% of the show being. Can you hear me? Hello.
I'll see you all tonight.
All right, Tim Riley, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back after this. Peter Carlin, Jolie's going to be here later on, Scott Daly, all that. Stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere.
How much you pay for what you used to get for free? And there goes the last DJ who plays what he